Answers Magazine, Volume 9.1, Page 11. Perspective. Neander Tools. Researchers were surprised to discover recently that the Neanderthals of Europe were probably using sophisticated bone tools before other humans moved into the region. Evolutionary scientists believe that about 40,000 years ago, so-called Cro-Magnon people were replacing the Neanderthals. Near that time, they say, Neanderthals began to exhibit behavior associated with these new arrivals in Europe. That included the use of bone tools and body ornaments. For years, evolutionists have debated whether the Neanderthals developed these skills independently or as a result of contact with modern humans. Their evolutionary bias makes them assume that Neanderthals were not capable of the same degree of abstract thought and creativity as humans living today. A study appearing in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences reports that a specialized bone tool, the lissoir, was found among Neanderthals at two different sites and carbon dated to 41,000 to 47,000 years ago, a time before so-called modern humans arrived in Europe. This smoothing tool was used to make animal hides tougher and more impermeable. It was made by grinding and polishing bone rather than chipping rock, and it had not been associated with the more primitive Neanderthals. The bone tool is evidence either that Neanderthals were capable of inventing such a specialized tool, or that they encountered other humans earlier than previously thought. The study's authors even raise the possibility that Neanderthals introduced the tool to Cro-Magnon humans, rather than the other way around. Of course, regardless of whether Neanderthals independently developed such tools, they did not live 40,000 to 50,000 years ago, and they were certainly no less human than we are. Humanness does not depend on technology or advanced culture, but on the image of God, imparted to Adam and Eve at creation and passed on to all of their descendants. After the flood, all the original people who were dispersed from the Tower of Babel would have been familiar with toolmaking. As scientists learn more about Neanderthal people, their discoveries fall in line with what the Bible tells us. Neanderthals buried their dead in graves, wore jewelry, and tailored their clothing. They showed creativity and problem-solving skill. They were not less evolved predecessors of modern humans. They were simply people who split off after the Tower of Babel, about 4,000 years ago. Chronology check. The geology associated with Noah's flood has been much studied since the release of the classic book, The Genesis Flood, in 1961. Less attention has been paid to the timeline of specific events during the flood. For the past 4 years, a team of Hebrew scholars, making up the Cataclysm Chronology Research Group, has been carefully studying the Hebrew of the Genesis narrative to re-examine whether dominant views about flood chronology are true to Scripture. The challenge is to place certain milestones at the correct moment in the flood sequence. One major question is whether the flood peaked at the end of the 40 days and nights of rain, or whether the flood mechanisms, fountains of the great deep, the windows of heaven, and the rain of Genesis chapter 7 verses 11 through 12, continued in operation throughout the first 150 days, while the waters prevailed on the earth. This chronology has a direct influence on a correct interpretation of the geological record. The scholars who are examining these intriguing details fully agree on the authority of the Bible and a worldwide flood. An analysis of the literary structure of the flood narrative and careful observations of the theological emphases may help us sort out some chronological issues in the sequence of events in the flood narrative. As all Bible students should be doing, these researchers are seeking the most precise understanding of the text and subordinating their scientific conjecture to the revealed Word of God. The initial findings of this group are being published in the new book, Grappling with the Chronology of the Genesis Flood. Masters Books.
Gear up. The journal Science reported in September the discovery of the first mechanical gears to be found in a living organism, located on the hind legs of an insect, the nymph stage of the leafhopper Issus coleoptratus. Leafhoppers are only a couple of millimeters long, but with one mighty jump, they can spring at a velocity of 3.9 meters per second, nearly 9 miles per hour, with an acceleration of nearly 400 G. A fighter pilot in the heat of battle experiences less than 9 G. The jump takes only 2 milliseconds. If both of the leafhopper's hind legs didn't push off at precisely the same time, it would spin out of control. Yet nerve impulses can't travel fast enough to coordinate this feat. The solution is a minuscule set of gears between the legs. As soon as one leg begins to move, the other one does too. 10 to 12 tiny gear teeth, just 6 to 12 ten-thousandths of an inch, or 15 to 30 thousandths of a millimeter long, are located on the inner surface of each hind leg. These curved cogs mesh under the abdomen. As the insect cocks its legs to jump, they must move in unison, no matter which leg moves first. During the jump, the gear cogs roll past each other at a rate of nearly 50,000 teeth per second. Rather than being symmetrical like most man-made gears, the leafhopper nymph's gear teeth are curved and all point toward their point of contact. Co-author Gregory Sutton says this unique type of gear is built for high precision and speed in one direction. It's a prototype for a new type of gear. Yet again, our creator has given us a glimpse into his matchless creativity. This perfectly functioning, finely tuned, irreducibly complex gear is another testament to his handiwork, clearly seen in all of creation.
Ice Age feedback. Secular scientists are finally showing by their research that they recognize a problem creationists have been pointing out for decades. A recent article in the journal Nature seeks to resolve flaws in the prevailing Ice Age explanation, the astronomical theory. The astronomical theory does not adequately account for the supposed 100,000-year Milankovitch cycle of advancing and receding ice sheets and glaciers during a purported 2.6 million-year ice age that continues today. The researchers have developed a new computer climate model that they believe will help solve the problem with this deeply flawed theory. But does their explanation work? The standard astronomical theory suggests that variations in the Earth's orbit and the tilt of its axis cause corresponding variations in the amount of the sun's heat that reaches Earth. These peaks and valleys in solar heating supposedly control the cycles. However, the variation in solar heating alone is not great enough to explain the suggested 100,000-year period. So researchers suggest that some feedback mechanism must amplify the effect. Creationists object to the astronomical theory primarily because the long passage of time conflicts with a biblical young Earth view. Any fluctuations in the ice coverage would have been short-lived during a single, brief ice age following the Tower of Babel. Creationists have published scientific objections to the astronomical theory as well. The statistical evidence that past changes in the spread of ice correlate with variations in the Earth's orbit is highly questionable, and the 100,000-year period they identified has the weakest such correlation. In addition, until recently, no details had been offered for any possible feedback mechanism. The report's authors, Abe Ochi and his co-workers, recognize the validity of such criticisms, although they probably would not admit creationists were involved in pointing them out. They considered a number of feedback mechanisms in their climate model and settled on a delayed rebound of bedrock as the primary explanation for the 100,000-year cycles. The rebound of bedrock refers to the sinking and rising of rock in the Earth's crust as heavy loads of ice are added and removed. Scientific research is not static. Abe Ochi and his colleagues have attempted to address problems with their theory and continue to refine their model. This means that creationists must continue to keep up to date in the battle for truth. As evolutionists refine their theories, creationists must make sure they respond with quality scientific experiments and model building, too. The integrity of our research methods bolsters our message, as we ultimately appeal to the truth of God's Word.
Creative compulsion. Archaeologists are excited about recent carbon dating of petroglyphs in Nevada. Scientists now say that the rock drawings at Pyramid Lake, Nevada, are the oldest yet discovered in North America. The name of the people behind these carvings remains a mystery, but they were among the first settlers of the Americas. Researchers analyzed the radiocarbon content of organic sediment under the carvings and on top of them, and arrived at an age of 10,000 plus years by secular dating assumptions. As old as they are, the carvings at Pyramid Lake are not the oldest art in the world. Researchers have dated a painted tablet from Namibia at greater than 26,000 years old, and carved ochre from Blambos Cave in South Africa at an astounding 80,000 years old or older. While these dates are grossly inflated because of uniformitarian assumptions, the fact that art is among the oldest of human artifacts speaks volumes. Even in the harsh environment after the flood and the dispersion from Babel, humans were displaying creativity and artistic expression, characteristics of the Creator who made them. Indeed, the lead researcher at the Pyramid Lake site declared the artwork to be absolutely beautiful. As is documented in the book The Genius of Ancient Man, notions of primitive cavemen need to be discarded, and so too should their dubious old dates. These ancients were the descendants of Adam and Eve, who lived only a few thousand years ago, and like Adam, they were made in God's image.